uplifted and drawn into you and your presence, Lord. May we have a fuller understanding of the fullness that you offer, Father, and be able to press forward with that into our own personal life, into our families and our communities and our workplaces, everywhere we go, Lord. May we shine the light of Christ because of what you are and who you are and what you've done in our life, Lord, and what you are making us to be, Lord. As we trust in you, we yield ourselves to you, and we thank you, Father, for your word. We thank you for your love and your grace. In Jesus' name we say, amen. Amen. So let's talk about the signs of the times. I'll just give you a little, just a precursor for the next few weeks, but there are so many things that are happening right now, okay? And there's things that have already happened in our world that we're going to take a look at some of those things and be able to see how some of the things that were prophesied, some of the things in New Testament, Old Testament, all the things that are pointing to our Lord Jesus Christ coming to get us again, receiving us unto himself, those things are in play. Okay, and some things are happening at an accelerated rate. Things are happening faster, more frequently. You know, we hear, how many have heard, you know, the Bible talks about wars and rumors of wars. Okay, Matthew 24. And so, okay, well, I remember thinking that, whatever, 25 years ago, there was wars and rumors of wars and some of that stuff. Well, there's some of those that are still happening. There's earthquakes in diverse places. There's some of the famines and pestilences, the things we went through with COVID, some of those things that we got to see in our country. Some of those are signs of the times, and we want to look at those and kind of get a better understanding so that we don't miss something. I don't want to be the guy that misses it. I don't know about you guys. I want to make it all the way to the end, and that's what we're going to talk about this morning. So let's look at some signs of the times, and I want to start with the being the bride of Christ, okay, and having an understanding of this. So I think over the next couple of weeks, you'll see some things that we press into that are going on in the here and now, and I have found it very beneficial in our walk with God as we're seeking the Lord, we're trying to gain in godliness, we're growing in Christ-likeness in our life, is to actually start by evaluating where am I at right now, okay? And that's where we look at the here and now, okay? It's kind of like David cried out. Remember, he cries out to God at Psalm 26, verse 2. He says, "Examine me, O Lord, and prove me. Try my reins and know my heart." Okay, try my reins and my heart. David was crying out that he wanted God to examine him. Okay, and Paul goes on and takes it another step in the New Testament, and it's in 2 Corinthians 13:5. The Apostle Paul puts it this way. He states, "Examine yourselves whether you be in the faith. Prove your own selves." Okay, examine yourself and prove whether you be in the faith. Prove your own selves. Okay, now he literally meant to test and evaluate yourselves to see whether you're in the faith and living your lives as committed believers. Okay, and that's what you do. You take a self-evaluation. Am I really living a committed life to Christ? Or am I just going through the motions? Am I just kind of half-heartedly doing it? Am I riding the fence? I'm not real sure if I'm in or out. Am I, you know, where am I in my walk with God? Okay, and that's kind of what Paul was getting to, in part of that, was getting them to take a good look at yourself. Are you really a committed believer? Well, if you read on in 2 Corinthians as he's talking, you find that Paul goes on to admonish them and he says, "Examine yourselves and not me." Okay, because how many know it's so much easier and probably more common to evaluate other people, right? And to see the flaws in other people, to see what they need to work on, okay, to point out the things that, you know, they're not living upright in this area or that area or those kind of things. It seems to be so much easier and more common to pick out those flaws than it is to see your own condition. Okay, but it will impact your own life in a positive way when you learn to examine your thoughts, okay, examine your attitudes and your behaviors, and then correct some of those that are in error. Okay, you can't correct, you can try correcting other people, but it doesn't work very well. Okay, you can, if we, when need to, we speak the truth in love. There's a time and a place for that. But for the most part, we need to make sure that we're looking at our own life to start with that. If you think about it, if you're pointing out someone, you know, how somebody dresses promiscuously, and you only notice that because you were lusting after them, Okay, it sounds like you both have something to work on, right? It's not just, it's not their problem at that point. It was yours as well. Okay, or if you're talking about how someone is always talking about others, okay, you're gossiping about how somebody is such a gossip, right? Okay, it means you need to get the 2x4 out of your own eye, okay, before you can even address that in somebody else's eye, right? Get that board out of your own eye. Okay, but this morning, as we talk about examining yourself, I want to look at this from a little bit different perspective. Okay, how many need me to point out all your faults and failures this morning? Anybody? Sure. A few. Yeah, and we can point out a couple here and there. I probably just touched on a couple. Okay, as we go through, I want to look at examining yourself maybe from a little different perspective, though. Because I believe, and if you ask the Holy Spirit, He will convict you of sin. And He will reveal some things in your life that don't line up with God. He is good at that. He is in tune, perfect tune with God. And when you're out of tune, He can help you to see that if you're asking Him. Okay, all you'd have to do is ask Him, God, show me. Okay, like David was saying, show me my heart. Okay, try my reins and let me know what I'm made up here. Okay, so what I'm talking about this morning is maybe looking at it from a little different perspective that might take a little more, it does take a little more effort on your part, okay, and that is seeing what is right about you. Okay, I want to show you something that is God has done in your life to make you right with Him, that has put you in a good place that you need to understand. This is kind of summed up in the phrase, to see yourself as God sees you. Okay, see yourself as God sees you. Now, we can read our Bibles and hopefully entreat some of that into our life. We're going to get a good picture of who we are in Christ if we truly understand the Scriptures. But I think if all you see when you examine yourself, or all you think about when you think about who you are, is that you're just a foul sinner. Okay, I think you're inevitably going to just live like one. Okay? Or if you never see yourself as God sees you, you're never going to think that, if you're not thinking how God sees you, you're thinking how the world sees you, you're judging yourself and criticizing, condemning yourself. If you're living in that state of mind, you're going to be cutting yourself short from the blessings of God. Because He's trying to bless you with something and you're thinking, I'm not worthy of this. Okay, and you're going to be passing it off as something that is not for you. Maybe that's for, brother so-and-so, or that's for, sister somebody that, they're living it right. God will bless them. Okay, but the truth is, God is wanting to bless you as well. It's kind of like we talked about on Wednesday night and in Colossians, as we were going through that, we see where if you're saved today, okay, if you are born again, you have been forgiven. And you cannot get any more forgiven. Okay? Jesus is not going back to the cross to bear your current and future sins. He bore your sins once for all of humanity for all of time. Okay? He bore those on the cross. He literally took them to the cross. And the passage we were studying to get to that point was how our sins were nailed to the cross with Him. Okay? Literally, our sins were stained with the blood of Jesus as they hung on that cross. So to get started this morning, as we're talking about understanding the times that we're living in, I think it's important to understand our current position. Okay, so I want to start with this, two things. We're going to start with a truth and a goal. Okay, it's one thing to know the truth, it's another to apply that truth, to have a goal and to be able to aim towards that goal with that truth. Okay, here's the truth. The truth is that as a Christian, you are the bride of Christ. Okay, everybody say, I am the bride of Christ. Okay, if you're born again this morning, that is speaking to you. You are part of the church of God, the church of Jesus Christ. You are the bride of Christ. Okay, as John wrote of the days to come in the book of Revelation, he starts prophesying, speaking things that he was seeing, this revelation, this vision of what is yet to come. He describes the marriage of Christ with us as His beautiful bride. Okay, let's read that. It's in Revelation chapter 19. And we'll start in verse 5. Just as a side note, if you miss a scripture or you want to look up this stuff, you even want to read, my notes are literally in the app now. I started doing that instead of doing the fill in the blanks, because I don't think people are filling in the blanks on the app. You get my notes. So if you miss something and you want to go, what did Pastor say? You can literally almost read what I am reading or preaching this morning in the app under the sermon notes. So let's read Revelation 19:5. It also has hyperlinks to all these verses in there. It says, "And a voice came out of the throne saying, Praise our God, all ye his servants, and ye that fear him, both small and great. And I heard, as it were, the voice of a great multitude, and as the voice of many waters, and as the voice of mighty thunderings, saying, Hallelujah, for the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come, and his wife has made herself ready. And to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white. For the fine linen is the righteousness of saints. And he saith unto me, Write, Blessed are they which are called unto the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he said unto me, These are the true sayings of God." Okay, you have been made clean and righteous and clothed with beauty as an act of God to prepare you for this beautiful ceremony of a marriage with your Savior. Okay, God made you that way. That part he takes care of. You had to be righteous and right standing with him in order to be even a part of this. Okay, and he has done that part for you. He has made you into the bride of Christ that can meet with him, that can be received unto him. I believe it's important to see yourself that way, to see yourself as the bride of Christ, because a bride on her wedding day is not having a casual, laid-back day. Anybody been married? Okay, was it a casual, laid-back day? Not necessarily. Okay, that gal, that bride on her wedding day, is well aware of the magnitude of the moment that is about to take place. Okay, the guy is too. He's just not as smart as she is. Doesn't think it all the way through, right? It's like, yeah, oh, this will be cool. But the gal is thinking it through, and she knows that she's about to have one of the biggest moments of her entire life. Okay, she is not, you know, putting on her wedding gown and getting her hair fixed and fixed up real nice. And she's not talking to her friends that are there for, you know, her bridesmaids and saying things like, "I wonder what's going on today." Okay, you ever have, in some weddings, they put the brides and bridesmaid in a back room somewhere and they get all dressed and they do their stuff. And then the bridesmaid is peeking out to see if anybody's showing up or not. I don't think the bride is there looking through that door saying, "I wonder why people are showing up today." She knows why she's there. It's an important moment. She knows what is about to happen, and she's paying attention to that. Okay, that's that being the bride of Christ, where we step into this and recognize our Lord is coming to receive us unto himself. Okay, that bride is not, you know, putting on her gown and doing all that stuff with casualness. Okay, she's not, you know, kicking back, watching TV, you know, just passing the time. She's not wandering around the church, watering the plants or, you know, doing that kind of stuff. She's not scrolling Facebook, you know, moments before she walks down the aisle for one of the most important, one of the most significant events in her entire life. She's not taking it casually. It's a very serious moment. I did a wedding up in the mountains here a couple years ago for a young couple, and I remember, you know, of course, I'm there way early because that's what we do. And so we get there early. It was me and one of my sons, Isaac, and we were waiting. And, you know, we get to the point, they had all the tables, chairs, everything was set up for the wedding. The groom was there, and I'm talking to him and the groomsmen and those guys, and we're all kind of hanging out, and we're hanging out, and we're hanging out, and we're hanging out. And the wedding came, the time was supposed, and word finally got back to us that she's almost ready, and then another 10 minutes, 20 minutes, 30 minutes goes by, and well, she was getting prepared. I mean, it was that moment, and she wanted it to be just right and didn't want to have, you know, I can't remember what the issue was, something with the dress or something, the train wasn't dragging right or something. But anyway, there was something that they had to get quite right, you know, get it right before they were willing to come out. Okay, that's what happens on a wedding day. Okay, that bride is, on her wedding day, is acutely aware of what is about to happen. Okay, and as the bride of Christ, we should be tuned in to the event of an eternal lifetime for us as well. You know, God's people, for them to forget that they are, that we are to be one with God, that we are to, you know, constantly establish, keep God and His in our relationship with Him in the forefront of our lives, that to forget that is not really a new phenomenon. It's not something that, oh, yeah, it's just Christians today. It's not. It's people of all time. In fact, there are stories in Jeremiah we're going to look at that when God was speaking through the prophet Jeremiah, He was spurring the people of God to come back to Him. Okay, and God says to them, He says, "What evil thing have I done that has caused you to forget me and run away from me? Have you forgotten how I brought you out of bondage and carried you through the droughts and spared even your lives from certain death?" And then God gets very serious with them and He speaks forthrightly to His people and He says this. It's in Jeremiah chapter 2, verse 19. He says, "Thine own wickedness shall correct thee, and thy backsliding shall reprove thee. Know therefore and see that it is an evil thing and bitter that thou hast forsaken the Lord thy God, and that my fear is not in thee, saith the Lord God of hosts." See, God's people had disregarded the magnitude of their covenant relationship with God. Okay, they had lost their reverence for God. They no longer saw Him like a bride sees their groom on the wedding day. God literally goes on, if you read in this chapter, Jeremiah 2:32, God finally asks them, He says, "Can a maid forget her ornaments or a bride her attire? Yet my people have forgotten me days without number." See, in the eyes of God, intimacy in your relationship with Him is of such a nature that it should be unfathomable to set it aside and forget the importance of it. For us to walk casually through life for anybody and not acknowledge God and to you know, see the birth of a child or to see the sun come up every day or the stars in the heavens or the way that, you know, a seed is planted in the ground and it grows and produces its own fruit. To see any of those things and forget that God is God, or forget to reverence Him for His ability to speak and into our life and to reveal things to us, that should be hard to forget. Can a bride forget that she is wearing a wedding dress? You know, that's that peeking through the door. I wonder why all these people are here, and I wonder why I'm wearing this big fancy white dress. It doesn't happen. It shouldn't happen. It should be impossible for that to happen. You know, as hard as it would seem to be to do that, we as the bride of Christ sometimes need reminders of who we are and what is about to happen. You know, I'm sure a bridesmaid would say, "Hey, lady, today's your wedding day, remember?" Oh, yeah. Okay, it's kind of like that for us. We need a reminder once in a while that we are the bride of Christ and that this day is coming. Now, the term bride of Christ it's actually a first century metaphor. It depicts the church's relationship with Jesus. Okay, it's an illustration of the relationship between Jesus and His followers. Jesus, who serves as the church's bridegroom, loves His bride by offering Himself as a sacrifice for her. He literally lays down His life for her. We see some of this in the book of Ephesians. We'll start in chapter 5. Ephesians 5, 25 through 27 puts it this way. It says, "Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. Okay, Jesus loved the bride so much that he was willing to lay his life down, to bear the sins, to bear the bad stuff, so that that bride could be so beautiful, so spotless, so holy and without blemish for him. In response to Christ's love for the bride, the church then submits to Jesus. Okay, the church remains faithful to him as his bride. Ephesians 5:22 through 24 says this, puts it this way, says, "Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything." And then in verse 31 and 32, he says, "For this cause shall a man leave his mother and father, and shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh." And he sums it up and says, "This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church, that we are to see ourselves as one flesh with Christ, as the church." Now, Matthew chapter 24, when you're talking about the signs of the times, you would not be able to leave that chapter of the Bible out. It describes, it probably as one of the greatest expositions of the signs of the times, the things that are happening and are about to happen. Okay, and it is describing this period that is leading up to the return of the bridegroom. Okay, it's leading up to the return of Jesus to claim his bride. Well, immediately following that, chapter 24, in verse 25, Jesus tells this story. It's Matthew 25, 1 through 13. It says, "Then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins, which took their lamps, and they went forth to meet the bridegroom. And 5 of them were wise, and 5 were foolish. They that were foolish took their lamps, and took no oil with them. But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. While the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. And at midnight there was a cry made, 'Behold, the bridegroom cometh. Go ye out to meet him.' Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said unto the wise, 'Give us of your oil, for our lamps are gone out.' But the wise answered, saying, 'Not so, lest there be not enough for us and you. But go ye rather to them that sell, and buy for yourselves.' And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came. They that were ready went in with him to the marriage, and the door was shut. Afterward also the other virgins also came also the other virgins, saying, 'Lord, Lord, open to us.' But he answered and said, 'Verily I say unto you, I know you not. Watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh.'" You know, when I read this passage and I put it in context with that chapter 24 in describing the end of the age, and then I get to this, I think the message is very clear. The bride is to keep herself ready for the bridegroom. We don't want to get complacent. We don't want to get distracted. You know, you don't want to not know the times and seasons and get caught off guard. You don't want to be the one saying, "Wait, what? Jesus is coming today? I haven't even bought my dress yet." Right? We don't want to be at that point where we are not prepared for what is about to happen. You know, how many of you ladies waited till the day before your wedding to start planning and preparing? Anybody? Probably some of you, it was months, years. I didn't give Margie that much time, but we had time. It was planned out. So church, we need to be prepared for the coming of our groom. Okay, we want to be ready when he comes. We don't want to be going, "Wait, what? This is now? I thought we had time yet." What does it mean to be prepared for the coming of our groom? Okay, as I was writing this, I thought, you know, I can't just tell you to be prepared and then maybe not put something in there that alludes to what it means to be prepared. To prepare for the coming of your groom means that you'll keep yourself pure and unspotted from the world. Jesus came and shed his blood so that we could be pure and unspotted and ready for him. It means that if you know that you're distracted, if you know that you're engaged in ungodly things, that you will strive intentionally, that you will strive persistently to get yourself right with God. Okay, that righteousness always remains for the believer, but we can stray away from that and think it's okay. That's not where we want to be. We want to be in that place where, you know what, if I see something, I don't like it. I want that out of my life. Okay, and it doesn't matter who we are. I mean, been in ministry a long time, and I still got to do this all the time. God is showing me things about myself that, you know what, I felt like I was too critical in that moment, or I should have said this different or whatever. And I asked the Lord almost instantaneously, Lord, I don't want to be this way. Help me to do that better. Help me in this particular area of life. Okay, it's about preparing yourself, making sure that we are ready, making sure that we are that beautiful, spotless bride as Christ is coming to see. You know, if you knew someone was engaged and yet they were consistently flirting or even casually sleeping with others while they wait for their groom to come to the wedding, you'd probably be appalled by that. You'd probably, you know, be thinking, oh, what are you thinking? Your soon-to-be husband is on his way here right now, and this is how you're behaving? This is how you're living? You know, I don't see in the scriptures in any moment rapture of the church. But what I do see are the signs of the times culminating. I see the signs of the times coming together in a way that implies that the coming of our Lord for his bride is sooner rather than later. You know, I don't want to get into that, but we need to be ready for the return of our Lord. Now, I said earlier that there is, I was going to share something this morning that was a truth and a goal. Okay, the truth is that you are the bride of Christ. Okay, prepared, made by God. Now we maintain that. We live it out and so that we are actively ready for him. The truth is that you're the bride of Christ. The goal is to endure unto the end. Okay, and to be ready to be received by him. Look at these scriptures. We're going to look at Matthew 24, a couple of passages in that. Matthew 24, 36. Through 42 says this. Jesus says, but of that day and hour knoweth no man, no, not Father only. As the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying, giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered the ark. And they knew not until the flood came and took them all away. So shall also the coming of the Son of Man. Then shall be two be in the field. One shall be taken and the other left. Two women shall be standing at the one shall be taken and the left. Watch therefore, for you know not what hour your Lord doth come. Again, go back a few verses to 12 and 13. Jesus says, and because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. But he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. Mark put it this way in Mark 13:13. He was describing the same period, and he says, and you shall be hated of all men for my name's sake, but he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. Okay, now you might look at your life right now and think, well, enduring unto the end doesn't really seem to be that hard. I'll just kind of keep doing what I'm doing and I should be okay. But thinking like that means that you've probably missed some important language in the passages that we just read. Okay, Life's pretty good for the Christian in Rawlins, Wyoming right now. It really is. Okay, there's some oppression. There's heaviness. There is a little bit of persecution here and there. But for the most part, you can talk about God at work. You can be a believer. Nobody's going to gun you down for wearing a fish hat, you know, or cross around your neck or whatever. You know, at least not at the moment. The passages we just read says that the love of many will have grown cold. Okay? You're going to be hated by all men for your faith in Jesus Christ. You will be surrounded by hatred for God. It will be like it was in the days of Noah. Okay, now, I'm sure that pretty much everybody in here knows the story of Noah and Noah's Ark. How many people made the ship? Eight? That's a pretty select few. Remember, Jesus said others have to kind of get this home. Why it is the gate that leads unto destruction. And many there be that go thereat, but few, or narrow is the gate that leads unto life everlasting, and few there be that find it. It's so much of the casual Christianity. We see it probably more, I don't know. I remember being in other countries and not seeing it quite like it is here. That casual, nonchalant, complacent Christianity we have. We try to go to church when we can, or maybe seek God here or there. People don't pray. People don't do a lot of stuff. Probably happening more here than in other parts of the world. But I think a lot of those people are probably not going to make the cut. I don't want to be in that group. In Noah's day, those that were distracted by the cares and pleasures of this life missed the boat. As in the days of Noah, it said they were going on doing this and that, and they knew not until the floods came and swept them away. They weren't even aware of the moment that they were in. Something was happening. Only those that are planning and preparing for the return of their Lord, okay, with an obedient life, a sincere reverence for God, they're going to be ready for that marriage ceremony. So as we leave today, remember to keep your lamp filled with oil. Okay, that means you seek Him. Oil, Holy Spirit is represented by oil in some instances. That means we stay in tune with Him. We stay connected with Him. Stop focusing so much on what everybody else is doing or not doing, and examine your own selves to see whether you be in the faith. See yourself as the bride of Christ, okay, that is adorned with beauty, okay, and eagerly waiting for the greatest moment of your entire life. Okay, to live that way is to live with a different mindset. It means that I live my life in anticipation of my Lord. Okay, it means that we live knowing that no matter what happens, I'm going to endure unto the end. I'm going to make it through. My pastor and his radio program a couple weeks ago was telling about someone that worked for a very high up company that she ended up being persecuted. It had to do with the abortion industry. And she was in a position to speak out against that, and she did, and she was highly persecuted for it. And once she received some persecution, she backed off and actually joined in with those that were persecuting and said, they were right, I was wrong, and she went down that road. His example, and he was basically using that as an example to say, when the time comes, what are you going to do? How are you going to respond? Okay, I want to be the guy that says, put me to death, I don't care. Jesus Christ is Lord. I will not bow down from that. I will bow to none other than Jesus. I know what the Bible says, that every knee will bow to Jesus Christ at some point. Every knee. Okay? So I'm going to stand strong in that and believe that we are part of as the bride of Christ, that we are preparing ourselves. I want to be ready. And I want to help the best that I can. I can't make anybody do anything. I can share this stuff. But it then comes to you on how you're going to respond, what you're going to do with it. If you'll apply it in your life in any way, okay, that part falls on you to do. See yourself as that bride. Okay, see yourself as the bride of Christ. Anticipate His return for you. Amen. Father, we are praising You this morning. I know that, Father, You have adorned us with beauty. You have made us to be right with You. You put us in a beautiful and wonderful place. I pray that we don't take advantage of that. I pray we don't abuse that. I pray we live and receive of Your grace with the understanding that it is freeing us up to live right, not freeing us up to live wrong. Father, we choose to follow You in Your ways, to live out our life of faith in anticipation of You and Your glory, not just in a future time, but literally now, living and flowing through us as we live our lives, touching our families and our workplaces and every place that we go, Lord. Let it be a reality for us, Lord, that we have an experience of being one with You as our Lord and Savior. Father, we're trusting You this morning. Help us with our hearts this week as we entreat Your word and take it forth from here, Lord, and allow You to live and be who You want to be. Live right through us, Lord, causing us to be who You want us to be. Lord, we trust You for it and we praise You. In Jesus' name we say, amen. Amen and amen. Amen. It's a good